Before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you about the Burmese-made handicrafts that our nonprofit, Better Burma, sources from vulnerable artisan communities across Myanmar. These lovely crafts bring the life and color of Myanmar to the world. More importantly, their purchase assists the artists and their families, while also going to support our ongoing humanitarian and media missions. Please take a moment to visit our shop at betterburma.org/shop. Hitoshi Kamiyama, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Insight Myanmar podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm happy to meet you.
You have been going to Burma for some time. You've been interested not just in Burmese life and history and people and different regions, but I've noticed you've also had a particular focus of a curiosity about the aftermath of the Japanese army in various locations in World War II as they occupied Burma. So you have a lot of photographs. The photographs you have, they give way to very interesting reflections and conversations. And I think I'd like to start this interview off in hearing from you. Talk about where you started to become interested in Burma. Why Burma? When did you first go? And why did you keep coming back?
Okay. So I have been to Burma first time in 2005. At that time, I learned about photography in Japan. So my photographer master planned to photo shooting tour in Burma at that time. So just only I attend that tour first time. So at that time, I'm not so interested in about Burma, Myanmar. So but only attend to photo shooting tour first time. And so but if when I visited to Yangon International Airport and go out the town and Yangon downtown. So at that time, before military regime era at that time, so I thought like so military regime country means about my image about North Korea or other country. So but image changed. So they are very smiley and friendly. And when I go to the market, there are so many food and fruit and so many goods. So I felt a strange feeling before my eyes saw. While I attending photo shooting tour around at that time, Yangon, Bagan, Poppa, Mountain Poppa, and Inle Lake, and Pindaya Cave, so I traveled to we met many local people, and they smiled to us and very kindly. So I felt so attractive person, Myanmar person to me. So before, so I So my favorite photographic is portrait photo. So they are so photogenic people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after first time photo shooting tour, next after about half year, I visited to Myanmar again with my friend, and the next time with my wife, and other later times, so almost I traveled to by myself. And for example, I visited Inle Lake. My favorite tour guide, I hired a tour guide, so but not so tour, only translate. So I cannot speak Burmese. So I asked my guide to translate between me and the local person, and talk to each other and to take their photo and their lifestyle photographs.
Yeah.
So many times. So before COVID-19, I traveled to Myanmar about 25 or 26 times. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why did you keep coming back? You could go to so many different countries or go back to other countries. Uh-huh. There must have been some attraction that kept drawing you back to Burma, Myanmar specifically. What was that?
So when I was in local village, so I met a local family and talk to each other and to take photos. So next time I bring these photographs. repeated. So first, before 2010 or 2011, so I visited the same place many times. So and so I had increased my local friend and to take a picture and present next time take a picture. So what changed 2011? Because of 2011, Myanmar military regime changed the political style. So after 2011, I traveled to other places. I traveled to, not Kachin, not Chin State and Zagain region. So 2015, Aung San Suu Kyi's NLD elections, big victories, and changed the government. So after that time, Burma journalists and photographers expressed their photograph and journalism no problem. Before 2011, it was very difficult to express their country's problems, issues. So, but after 2015, they are free to exhibition and journalism. So at that time, I thought, what means, so I thought, I'm a foreigner to Burma. So foreigner visited to Burma and to take a photograph, what is meaning for me at that time? Mm. So before military regime era, I took a Myanmar photograph and back to Japan and to have a photo exhibition and to make a photo book. So it was, I want to know about Burma, Myanmar for Japanese people. So, but after government changed, many Japanese company come to Myanmar and investment and economic is growing every year. So at that time, I thought, what mean foreigner my visited to Myanmar? Yes. So at that time, 2017, I met old lady in Inle Lake. So I walk a village on the road. She invited me from her house window. Come here, come here. I entered her house. Are you Japanese? Yes. And she talked about memory of story about in while World War II. World War II. So Japanese soldier stayed her village about half year and 1 year. So she helped to constructing road. So Japanese soldier gave her salt and sugar and tea, taught about the Japanese word and the Japanese songs.
And we should mention, you've brought your book, and the name of the book is Burma, Myanmar, Memories of War 2019 to 2024. So we encourage listeners to look at this book. It's really quite impressive. And
before COVID-19, before Myanmar coup, I thought memory of war meaning only Myanmar country inside and between Japanese army and British armies fighting and affected to the local people, but just only memory of war meaning only World War II inside Myanmar. So but as you know, after COVID-19 we cannot enter the Myanmar first because of COVID-19 spread it. And 2021 February, Myanmar military coup. So I cannot enter the aim to shooting to enter the country. So at that time I thought I cannot travel to Myanmar. So, but some Myanmar people escape from their town, escape other country, for example, Thailand and India. So first, I visited to India. So before visited to India, so World War II, Japanese operation, but Japanese stupid operation. Impal operation.
World War II.
Impal operation. So I listened many times Impal operation. So I want to know Impal is what is the town. So I visited to Impal 2023. Visited to Impal and so from Impal to it take about 3 hours from Impal to Myanmar border. Town name is More town. So I heard from internet, More town, there are many Burmese people escaped from Myanmar. I heard. So I visited to More and I, to tell the truth, I want to donation for More, for Myanmar people support organization, if I met them. So, but I could not meet them because of, from Impal to More, there are two checkpoints about from checkpoint Indian army. Indian is a checkpoint. And one of the checkpoint is very, when I arrived at one checkpoint, Indian soldier come to me, come to here, and check my passport. So my passport is record of Myanmar country many times entered and Myanmar visa. So Indian soldier asked to me, what do you do in More? So I cannot talk about support for Myanmar people from in More from Myanmar. So I only Japan is island country. There are no border. I want to go to the border city. And Indian soldier, okay. So, at that time, I have many Myanmar chat about $800. I have a value of Myanmar chat stored to donation for them. So I cannot, so after Indian checkpoint, travel guide said to me, so we must watch in when we arrived at the Mole town, local police and another watched me every time. So we cannot take a photo and take so we have to attention very very attention for the take a photo and contact the local people. So I cannot look for the local organization. So back to the more from Impact City. So but there are many Myanmar people in Mole town. So the border gate was closed, but local people maybe come across a small river every day, morning time from Myanmar to Mole to have many fruit and vegetables bring to the market and they sell, and maybe evening time back to the old town. So at the Mole town there are so many Myanmar beer sell the Myanmar beer. So I look for the Indian government policy for Myanmar refugee. So that was not so good. Only Mizoram state is support to the Myanmar escaped people, but other state is not so good. So after visited to India, next to come to Mesot. So and Mesot is so many Burma people. So every shop walk Myanmar people. So and I visited to Meta Clinic and Migration Learning Center, many Migration Learning Center and CDMA teacher, I met a CDMA teacher and injured PDF soldiers. They lost legs and arms. Mm-hmm. And rehabilitation support organization I visited. I thought local Myanmar people, for the local Myanmar people is condition of war, yeah. I thought. So I changed this so fast. This photo book published on the inside of Myanmar and the World Memory of World War II only. So if COVID-19 and could nothing, I visited again and Chin State and Kachin State and Mandalay and Zarai, Pingwin, so and many areas and interview and take a photo. So this year, as you know, 80 years anniversary end of World War II. So this anniversary year, there are so many in Japanese many media about the articles and broadcasting and about World War II ended 80 years anniversary. So just I thought this year I published this book. So but COVID-19 and especially Myanmar coup occurs, I changed the my photo book concept. So half of this book, so before COVID-19, traveled to Chin State, mm-hmm. and met a local old man and woman. Mm-hmm. I listened to their story and they have many things about World War II, Japanese soldiers and photos. And another half is visited to Impal and Kohima and Method contains this photo book. So concept and content changed.
Yeah.
I published this.
That's very interesting. Thank you for going over that history. And I'm, you know, part of your interest in Myanmar is the country and people themselves, but part of your interest is also the memories of Japanese presence in Myanmar, how that affected Myanmar, how Myanmar affected those Japanese who survived what was really a very difficult battlefield. And also looking at the dynamics of Burmese-Japanese relations today and where they've gone. And it seems to me that Burmese seem to have somewhat of a complicated feeling towards Japan and Japanese. I wonder if you, being Japanese and being in the country, as you say, 25, 26 times, how would you describe some of the things you've learned about the ways that ordinary Burmese that you're talking to, how they look at and feel about Japan?
So it's very difficult question. So local people, when I visited to for example, Chen State and Zagai local people, so they might suffer in the World War II from battle between Japan and England, English army. So I asked them and they answered first. We like Japan and the Japanese people because of Japan is so many support to Myanmar country after World War II, they
right.
said, yes.
Yeah.
So, but, so I asked old men and women many times, so there, how many people victims, there are how many people victims in World War II in your village? So, but they don't know correct number. So, but my brother or next house of the family died.
Yeah.
During the battle, story many times I heard. So, but they after World War II, they every day they work for mountain and. Plantation of fruits and vegetables every day. So sometimes very heavy rain and land flowing. So Japanese soldiers, for example, rice pan or teeth or bones. So they keep their house every time.
Right. You have pictures of this. I mean, it's so interesting. You found meal tins and grenades and helmets and even a tank that was in the jungle. So you've, you know, through visiting these rural villages, you have found these now 80-year-old remnants that sometimes are like meal tins are actually being used, are still being used for their original purpose. Others like, the Japanese helmet a little boy is wearing as a as more of a toy, or there are other places that there are remnants. It reminds me, actually, I was in the Sagaing Hills one time, and where there's many monasteries. And if you might know, monasteries have different, they have gongs, but then they also have other, hollowed out wood that they use to bang and to call attention to it's time to wake up, or it's time to have a meal, or it's time to go to alms rounds. And I visited one monastery and they had the shell of an Allied bomb from World War II. It was that shell and it was hanging and they used it as a gong for mealtime. And it was so, you do see the remnants of this past Burmese history there. But I find it really interesting that you're coming in with a particular interest. Being Japanese, you have a particular interest in the aftermath and the remnants left from the Japanese army there, and how both the histories and the stories of those now few survivors that are still living among us that can tell you their stories that are now quite elderly, and you've collected some incredible stories that we'll get into, but also the physical remnants that still remain that are really still being found as well.
So yes, so I'm just only before COVID, I just only Chin State area. So to tell the truth, I want to other areas, Sagaing and Mandalay. So but I only hear the Chin people said to me. So they are sympathy to Japan and the Japan people. So, but I thought that was time. So, it's my opinion, my thought. So, to keep the anger so many long time, for example, 5 years is not easy to them. After World War, I don't know how many times passed. So they forgive or gave up to keep the anger for Japan or perhaps England. So and forgive and to because of their Buddhism or their policy or thinking, I thought. So, but, so I'm Japanese, so I want to know between relationship between Japan and Burma.
Yeah.
So I look for the between the two countries. Before World War II, very little things between Japan and
Burma. Right.
So it was not good. Beginning of relationship two countries start at World War II. I want to trace two countries' relationship from World War II and the next project and the second next project trace to now.
Yeah, and of course, historically, the Japanese came in as promising this liberation from colonial rule and a greater East Asian prosperity that they would enjoy. Of course, when the Japanese then occupied the country, they were much, much more brutal than the British had ever been. And that was also their downfall and their, you know, stories of just terrible cruelty that the Japanese army committed. And then, of course, you had the fighting between the Allies and the Japanese, where the villagers were caught in the middle of it. But I think it's interesting what you say, because when you look at different generations, I think, you know, if you were doing this project 30 years ago, you would meet a lot more people that had firsthand memories of Japanese cruelty and suffering that they endured. But for doing it more recently, you're talking to people who remember more the being a beneficiary and the aid and the support that came after World War II, almost as an apology or as a sign of contrition on the part of the Japanese to help after what they caused. And so their immediate memories are not so much, the suffering they or their family or friends endured during World War II, but more the better relations that happened in the post-war.
So I think so after coup, Japanese government said Myanmar country sympathy to Japanese country, Japan. But I thought after World War II, Japan is many investment for the Myanmar via ODA.
Yeah.
But I visited to memorial ceremonies. So only just one place I visited, but after World War II, for example, 1960 and 1970 and 1980, so there are so many similar type of ceremony in Myanmar, I thought, because so Japanese soldier arrive and come back to Japan, and but many their friends pass away in the Myanmar country, and after World War II, after 20 or 30 years later, they come back to the Myanmar, and they met local people and make a good relationship.
Yes.
So I think so. Myanmar people is like Japanese people. Reason is mainly I think not the ODA. I think that Japanese soldier and make a relationship. The relationship with local people is very, it's important for the relationship to the country, I think.
Yeah, because during World War II, they briefly had an alliance with the Bamar, but as far as I know, very little, if any, connection or friendship with the ethnics, that most of the ethnics went with the Allies. And so in some ways, when you're talking about Japanese veterans going back in later decades for memorials in Burma in World War II, it reminds me of American veterans going to Vietnam. You know, because American soldiers in Vietnam were certainly occupiers and the enemy, and were quite cruel in some cases. And so to go back to those places where they inflicted harm and also lost their friends and lost some of their own, you know, mental balance and the traumas of war, to be able to go back to those places, it's not so dissimilar, I think, from Japanese veterans going back to some of the really terrible battlefields of Burma.
Japanese people's character or our people thinking from the ancient to now, Japan is a very important relationship for the friend and co-worker, for example, in the World War II, the same groups of military. It's very, relationship is very important for Japanese. So that after World War II, many time visited to for them very severe memories. Only severe memories in Burmese, but they visited again and again. To I think they think important relationship for passed away friends.
Yeah.
It's very important for them, for non-Japanese.
I'm sure you're familiar with the Japanese book and movie The Burmese Harp, which is it's an anti-war book and movie in the storyline, for those listeners that have not come across it, and definitely recommend checking it out. Is a Japanese soldier who is, if my memory serves me right, he's mistaken for dead after a battle, that where the commander has told them to fight to the death, and basically comes out of the dead, almost reincarnated in such a way. And he's a Japanese soldier who's also a translator, so he speaks fluent Burmese. And, you know, for spoiler alert for those who haven't seen the movie, but it ends with him basically deciding to become a Burmese monk and disguise himself as a Burmese monk, but then embrace the fact of being a Burmese monk. And the last scene is him visiting his comrades, his fellow soldiers, and I think a POW camp, and speaking to them, but telling them he's not going back to Japan, he's not going back to the military, he's continuing on this path of Buddhist monasticism. And it's a very powerful anti-war story. Yeah.
So that movie was, I watched many times in Japan. So now I don't know, when I childhood, every year in August, that movie is broadcasting, repeated.
Really?
Every year, yes. Uh-huh.
So it's famous in Japan.
Yes, very famous in Japan, yes. So, but that story is, as you know, a little bit of a fantastic story because of Burmese monk. The monk does not play a harp.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit of fantasy.
Yes. So, but and I think so. Japanese people, especially younger generation, more than me. So, we should not forget to what happened in Myanmar during World War II. Two meanings. One meaning is Japanese and English soldier battle in Myanmar, to many victims for the suffer to the local people.
Yeah.
One thing. Other one thing, so I said before, so for example, Imperial operation and other operation was very stupid operation because of it's not consider to the support to the food and shooting gun and other. So many Japanese young soldier died mainly of sick, not battle.
That's right.
So that story, Japanese people don't forget.
I would add a third point there, and I think that's that, you know, anytime a country decides to occupy another country, they, I don't know if you want to say they lose a bit of their soul, or they have some relationship that some responsibility they hold on to afterwards. You know, what America's done in Vietnam, what it's done in Iraq, you know, that stays with us. It stays with us many generations later, because what we did doesn't go away and it comes back home. And so I think that, you know, the some of the cruelty and the harsher aspects of Japanese occupation on Burmese people, I think that there's part of that is, it does take some reconciliation. And I know this is a very sensitive topic in Japan, not so much about Burma, but I know the Japanese actions in China and Nanking, you know, that's become extremely sensitive, politically sensitive. And you know, certainly China has tried to push that issue for their own benefit, you know, for on their side. But, you know, I do think that that there is some kind of soul searching that a nation has to do when they have an overseas experiment that really does go wrong.
So political problem is very complicated, especially recently. So after World War II, 80 years, now I watched around the world, not about the peaceful, I think.
I know that there's Japanese nationalist politicians and speakers that are promoting nationalist views of rewriting history of what Japan actually did in China during World War II. Is there that same focus on Burma? Is there a nationalist? Is there a far right nationalist a part of Japanese media or politics that is trying to rewrite or revise the Japanese occupation in Burma?
Revise or...
Or is it just kind of forgotten?
Yes. So, that government... So, government or Japanese, for example, Prime Minister thinks too about that issue. Sometimes change the and revise the record of some of issues in Japan recently. So for Burma, when Japan occupies the Burma history, it's not so changed, I think, for official record of Japan occupation to the Burma in World War II. Recently, not so revised, changed, yeah. I think.
Not so much of an important topic overall.
For Japan and Japanese and Japanese government.
So I'd like to, you've brought your book with us and you have incredible pictures and descriptions. We can't show them to our audience because this is an oral conversation, but I'd like to prompt you to start with a picture you might like to talk about and tell us about the significance of that picture and the story behind it.
Yes. So this photo is this is important photo, the one on this book that I located the first page. So she hold a Japanese grenade. And so, but it's not dangerous because of inside it empty.
Yeah.
I think this is before use grenade.
Yeah.
So she have kept this grenade and her house so many good rice pan and helmet there and sword cover. There they, her house kept many Japanese soldiers' things. So she told me to, when I interviewed her, she told to me, I asked you, please tell me about your memory of World War II. So she did, she told me, when she was a young girl, during World War II, her elder brother killed by Japanese soldier in front of her. I heard that. I cannot answer the word. For a moment, I can't. So, I cannot. I look for the next word. She said to me again. At that was only war. She told to me, I never hate or dislike Japanese, for Japanese and Japanese soldier. But that was only war. She said to me. So, so I cannot believe quickly. So, because of her brother killed by Japanese soldier in front of her, it's very shock and very serious for her. So, what I thought, so for her, so it's to keep the anger so long time is not easy, difficult and not easy to her. One point, she forgive and forgot to the anger for the Japanese soldier. So, I think. So, and I asked her again, so, how many people come to here, how many Japanese people come to your village per year? She answered me, one or two person. You are first person this year. So, but after talk, I took this picture. So first, we talked about in her house, but to take a picture, too dark the house, inside the house. So, we go out to her house, and in this photo is in front of her house. And there are small benches. Please sit down here. And I took a photo. Three or four photos. And during my taking picture, she smiled to me every time.
She's Chin?
She's Chin people, yes.
What is the reason? Did she give any reason why she kept a hollow grenade for 80 years? What the significance was for her?
So I asked her, she answered to me. So in the future, Japanese people pick up this goods. She thinks Japanese people come to here and bring to Japan and their house. She believed. So, but I don't. I think it is who. I don't know who had this. For example, grenade or who has a lifespan and a helmet. And she talked to me. You bring to Japan this answer.
Oh my God!
So, but I cannot bring to my Japan.
She's holding these things for 80 years, a rice pan, a helmet, a grenade, thinking that maybe one day some representative from Japan is going to come back and say, we've come to collect the things we've left during World War II. So she's keeping it almost out of a kindness for, you can have your things back after the war. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's absolutely,
absolutely unbelievable. Right? So, but... At this area, Japanese soldier come, so many Japanese soldier come to this village. Yeah. So maybe at that time, conversation each other. So Japanese people think, for Japanese people and the Japanese soldier, it's important for these belongings and goods. Maybe they know that Japanese soldier's character, I think.
Uh-huh. But this is also her aggressor. You know, she's keeping the items from the army that killed her brother. And so there's this, it's hard to understand where this all fits together.
So what, when I leave this village, and she want to handshake to me, and yeah, she gave me some souvenir, fruits and rice and water.
That's incredible. I mean, the picture and the stories behind it. So I'll prompt you now to share another picture you might want to talk about.
So my friend, he's a war memorial tour guide, my friend. He invited to me from TDB Road. It takes about 10 minutes by walk, invited to me, and he showed this. This is a Japanese tank, she said to me. But first impression of this tank, it's very small. Like a width about 1 meter and a half only. So I imagine tank is more big. And inside the two or three person inside the tank and driving and shooting and watching. But it's very small. I cannot believe this is a tank. But look around here and to watch deeply and like a gun. It's the upside down, this picture here. So after this photo shooting, come back to Japan, and so I displayed this photo in Japan 2020, August. I had an exhibition in Japan. I displayed this photo. Some old man come to the gallery. So, unfortunately, I was not in gallery. So, he said to gallery staff, this tank, I made this tank in World War II. He was work at a tank factory in Japan. So at that time, old man said to gallery staff, we are 8 or 9 people's group make a tank.
Wow.
And completed a tank, make a tank. So some, 4 or 5 person go to the Burma Imperial operation with tank because of constructing and sometimes repair. To need to engineer to make a tank. So that man, that old man was the youngest person in that group. Other elder person said to you are the young, you should remain in Japan. So but that group of 5 person go to the Burma, but never come back to Japan. So, but very small tank is, so, as you know, Chin State is very mountain area. So usually big tank cannot drive. So this tank is make a tank and once disassembled and hanging by soldier, many soldiers hanging up some parts and reassembled the Chin State.
That was incredible for me to read about when I saw this in your exhibition, that they would, because of the mountainous territory, the individual soldiers would carry the parts of the tank to then assemble it in a place where it could be assembled and used. And yes, you note how small the tank is. When I saw this, it looked to me almost like an armored rowboat, you know, like a small rowboat that one person is on the water rowing. And instead of it's about that size, if listeners can imagine this, but instead of a rowboat, it's an armored tank about that size for just one person to sit in the middle. Almost another example would be like a go-kart, you know, a go-kart that you drive for fun. It just happens to be armored and have guns with it and able to be disassembled that people can carry across the mountainous territory.
So, but this is a tank is very small. It's not not useful for the battle because of English army is a regular very big tank. Not so fight this tank. It's very small and very weak.
Yeah.
I want to contact old man, but they don't write down that their name or address. I could not contact old man. It's so, I want to meet him.
Yeah.
Yes.
So show us another picture here.
Yeah. So this is a photograph is a young boy put on the head Japanese soldier's helmet head on the top. So I visited this village first this house, his father showed me this helmet, and next to come to his son, come to here and wearing this helmet. So I, at that time, I thought, for example, after World War II, for example, to 1945 or 1946, they did not wear the helmet for the plane or something because of immediately end of the World War II. There are very severe condition and severe memory for the battle. But after 70 years moreover, Japanese soldiers' helmet for the playing goods for the kids. So, but I took this picture and I don't think many men took a picture, but back to Japan and printed this photo, I think many things.
Ah, yes. Really? Like what?
Yes. And so, time past meaning and peace and so if this helmet have a this helmet the owner of a Japanese soldier watched this photo they feel how they feel I imagined.
Physical objects are incredible sometimes to think of how a single object that you're holding. I mean, just as we're talking, I'm holding a cup of tea. How old is this cup? how many people have held this cup and drank, and what was the circumstances in their, you know, as they were drinking, the you know, with the person they were with, loving them, arguing with them, being worried, being anxious, being excited, all of this embodied in a single cup I'm holding, which doesn't really have so much meaning as these other things. You think about this helmet. This was an actual helmet that an actual Japanese soldier wore going into battle, and that past history of who he was and what his life meant is all gone. But that physical remnant still remains, and for 80 years, villages were touching and using that physical remnant, and it's not going away anytime soon. And so you think about the life of these physical objects, and I'm fascinated by that.
Yes, I think so. Mm.
There was a couple of pictures in your exhibit that really struck me that I want to prompt you about. The first is one on the democracy side and one on the Japanese-Burmese relations side. On the Japanese-Burmese relations side, the one that really struck me was the picture of the tree and the boy that was on the tree. So I want to prompt you to tell that story, because that's really incredible.
So I attend Memorial ceremony 2028 March. So that ceremony was near the Metera. Village name is Were village. So this village every year 8 March has a ceremony for pray for victims in World War II and peace for the world every year. So this tree was in 1945, a local village boy climbed up this tree and watched the battle between Japanese soldier and English soldier. English soldier meaning most of tank. Many tanks, 8 or 9 tanks come to these villages, and Japanese soldier has no tanks. And a young boy watched the battle from this tree. So he felt Japanese, he considered very easily to English is very must to win.
Yeah.
But Japanese soldier very bravely to against the tank.
Yeah.
Because one of the holder mobs and dash to the tank.
Like kamikaze.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So at that time he felt that Japanese soldier is so brave. So he was so impressive with memory. So, and after World War II, about 35 years, and Japanese soldier arrived and back to Japan, and after World War II, 35 or 36 years later, visited again this village for the pray for their friends and at that pathway, this village. So a man come to Japanese soldiers, and I know you are battle in this village. And so Japanese soldier surprised to from his stories and begin to the good relationship Japanese soldier and this this village. So 2019 May, Japanese soldier passed away about 99 years old. 2020, this memorial ceremony is attended his son and his daughter attend the ceremony. I joined this ceremony. So at that time, young boy, now he was this year, 1994. So this ceremony have this year continuously. So only one time does not ceremony at that 2021 May because of that after coup. That was very confusing in Myanmar country inside. But 2021 is not ceremony, but 2022 and 3 last year and this year take place the ceremony, memorial ceremonies. So I visited this village. It's important to relationship local people. Japanese and local people, not the government, between government.
Right, yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's very important to each other's relationship, a good relationship, make a good relationship is very important thing. I think after World War II, this story, many stories in Myanmar, same stories, I think.
It's incredible to think that this young boy in a tree watching a battle of basically the Allies beating the Japanese who were making individual sacrifices in a losing attempt, that you found this same boy now 94 years old and coming to the ceremony. It prompts me to think of an experience I had with a different tree in Burma that has a very different story. And that's, I went to the home village of a very famous meditation teacher called Mahasi Sayadaw, one of the most famous meditation teachers in all of Burma. And while I was in the monastery, the monks told me, do you want to visit the tree where Mahasi Sayadaw gave his first meditation instructions? Under this tree, it was during World War II, actually. I think it might have been 41 or something. I think 1941, that maybe 42, that Mahasi Sayadaw is recorded to have given the very first meditation instructions for lay people to follow. And there were three lay disciples from the village who sat down and he taught them meditation instructions. They said, do you want to see this tree? I said, absolutely. I thought the tree was maybe around the corner, but it was actually about a, I don't know, 10 or 15 minute drive into the countryside. And so we had a car and they called a local guy in his 20s to come and drive us or to take a motorbike and to ride in the motorbike and we would follow in the car. So we went into the countryside and the beautiful, peaceful, small village and, you know, standing under the tree. Again, I like physical objects. So as I'm standing under this tree, I'm thinking, this is the very tree where Mahasi Sayadaw gave instructions that would eventually in later decades literally reach millions of people. Millions of people around the world have followed Mahasi's instructions. And I'm standing in the place where they were first given. So I'm very moved. And I feel very fortunate that I was able to find this tree, you know, because you need a local person to tell you this is over there. This is this thing. There's no way you can do that yourself. And there's no recorded history. So as I'm standing there appreciating the moment, just when I think it can't get any more significant, I start talking to the motorbike driver who had guided us there and just making conversation. Have you always lived in this village? He said, yes, I have. And then he went on to say that his grandfather was one of those first three disciples. His grandfather was a villager in 1941, and he was one of the first three people that Mahasi Sayadaw taught. So the grandson of the first student of Mahasi Sayadaw, the first lay student, when meditation started to be spread to lay communities outside of monks, the guy who led us, who was just kind of walking around, that the monk called and said, take these foreigners to this tree. You know, you think these are random things in Burma, and yet they're all connected. That the guy who took us to the tree was the grandson of the first lay student of Mahasi Sayadaw. So my mind is just blown. Just like, this is so amazing. This is incredible.
Oh, really amazing story.
Yeah.
Right.
So after attend this ceremony, I sometimes watch the very big tree inside Myanmar. And I thought about this tree. Perhaps this tree has a
some stories.
Yeah. Trees are very significant in Myanmar. You know, when I was in Myanmar for many years and I went back to the US and I was driving on the road, the thing that really struck me is I would see these trees on the side of the road and I would think, why is no one under them? Because in Myanmar, when you're driving on the road, every tree has a community, you know, as people selling things and sleeping and having instruction and class and, you know, lunch and whatever else. And just the trees in America would look so lonely because no one was under them.
So if possible, I want to interview the tree.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, on the World War II front, I also meant to mention when I was in Michina, and I arrived at the airport many years ago. I was picked up by a driver in a U.S. Jeep, a U.S. military Jeep that was left behind by the U.S. Army in World War II. And you see those old Jeeps driving around Michina still to this day.
Oh, yes. So this is a very important tree for me. Yeah.
Nice.
So these pictures in... I watched these pictures inside of in India near the Kohima town, World War II Memorial Museum. Mm-hmm. I visited this. I watched these pictures. So this is three generals in World War II, Japanese generals. Mm-hmm. So I have a very interested about this order. Why this is the first? Why this is the center and this is the line? So this is the center of the Rei Yamataguchi. He is a imperial operations. He considered the imperial operation and carry out on imperial operations. So in Japanese military history, the most stupid general in Japan. So and this on the right side, Mr. General Sato. So he imperial operation is three big generals and three big groups. One of group from Qin state to the Qin state and Tidim and Tonzan go to Impar. And one group is from Zagai region to over the mountain to the Impar. One group is go to the Kohima. So Kohima meaning support to Impar base from the Kohima to Impar road. So Kohima grip the Japanese, Japan, if Japan grip the Kohima, Impar is not, cannot get the support goods. It's important to get the Kohima. So he and his group go to the Kohima and battle to the British armies. Very hard battle. So, but after start of about 1 month, so he said to him to support food and weapons to support to the his group, but he cannot. So but he considered more battle, all Japanese soldiers died. Yeah. And he decided to back to the Myanmar country.
Sato did.
Yeah. So now he's a very good decision from me or now. But after that time, he's not a good general, but very important person to the Impar operation.
Sato is.
Sato, yes. And this is Kawada, is both of them. General, yes.
The top general.
Yeah, top general, yes. So, I don't know in Japan, they are they displayed in the Japanese museum. Right. This is really important to display in India.
Yeah. I'm sure you've also read accounts of the other side, especially William Slim's memoir. That's a famous war memoir, Defeat into Victory.
Yeah. And the last of this book contains about the location in the around the Mesot. Mm-hmm. So this photo is this book's cover, I use. This is very impressive for me, this photo story. So when I visited to Migrant Learning Center, but at the end of vacation, well, your holiday, so usually school holiday is no kids, no children, but there are so many kids in this Migrant Learning Center because of this school has a dormitory for the Myanmar people escaped from inside Myanmar. So there are many children. So school holiday, for example, he is in holiday. His parents is in same house. So I asked for school teacher. His parents was killed by Myanmar military.
Oh, his parents. Mm.
So first he come to this school. Mm. He cannot speak and he hardly eat food. But then 1 week or 2 weeks later, he little recovered. And now it's very good and very good, no problem. So this school dormitory children, all of the kids have many sad stories, I think. So, but that children have singing a hand and make a circle is very important for future of the Myanmar, I think.
Yeah. The other picture that struck me that I wanted to prompt you on, which is a picture you took during the transition period, it's a picture of a room or an inside of a building where I don't know, about a dozen men are sitting on tables and talking. And what really struck me actually was your caption. And your caption is what made me look at this picture in a different way. I don't remember why those men were gathered there, but your caption referenced how after the 2021 coup, the military laws reverted back to before the transition, where gatherings of more than five people were illegal by law. And so simply having communities come together to talk about their issues and how they wanted to work together to resolve whatever those issues were and to make, you know, community decisions, that this picture was now a sign of a lost past, at least for now, of a kind of democracy in action that was only happening in that period, and that this at least in military controlled areas, something like this couldn't happen at present moment.
Yes, so this photograph, I took the 2012, I took this picture. So as you know, before 2011, Myanmar was a military regime. So more than five people gathering meeting was prohibited. If a meeting before application for the government war. So, but after this year, that more than five people meeting is no problem. So one day, this photograph left side back, a woman sitting, she is my friend. She invited me. So I will go to the meeting. Can you go with us? I worried at that time. I together to go to the meeting. So that meeting was, Japanese, one Japanese man collecting money from Japan, Japanese Foundation, and to make a fish calculate project proposed to the local Inle Lake people. Calculate small fish and growing a big fish and sell the one and calculate. So this meeting is first three or four families to pilot test to the calculated fish. Mm-hmm. And if pilot project is good, so more villages, villagers.
Mm-hmm. Like a fish hatchery.
Fish hatchery. So this meeting is which family is the first pilot? Selecting meeting.
Yeah.
So I watched this style, this meeting. So before I never watched this meeting. I realized Myanmar become changed a democratic company. I felt this first time.
And I think this is so powerful to emphasize because I think for a lot of our listeners, it's hard to imagine how profound and something that's very new, just having a community come together and talk about a decision. That's something we take for granted in so many countries, that whether they're school boards or religious groups or sports committees or neighborhoods, whatever it is, that these freedoms of being able to simply come together and talk about our neighborhood or make a decision, that's we can't even imagine how the authorities could possibly have any relation to, you know, holding a meeting like this. But you're capturing the scene of these community members coming together and discussing how they want to proceed with this fish hatchery, and just the experience of these people coming into a room, voicing their opinion, listening to each other, and then having some decision-making process. This is something that couldn't have happened a few years ago and now can't happen a few years later. So you've really captured a moment in time where this new experience of communal decision-making could happen, at least in the military-controlled areas. Of course, we know that the military has never controlled the whole country. They control 25 to 30% now. So there are many good examples of local public governance. We want to make sure that that's clear to listeners, but in the military-controlled areas, this is something that the regime has always been very afraid of, is this power of the people to be able to make their own decisions outside of their structures.
So this picture is the most changed after the military coup. This picture has a meaning, very changed. So before military 2021 military coup, it's not important photos for
that's
me.
Right,
for me.
Right.
It is normal style for the military. But after military coup, more than five people meeting prohibited again. So it's very important meeting, very change, big changes meaning of photograph. So after military coup, I have a photo exhibition. Every time this photograph is displayed every time. It's very important for important meaning for the democracy.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting photograph because it's the same, you know, you said it's not an important photograph before the coup. And so also when I was touring the exhibit and I saw that photograph, it didn't strike me as something that drew me in. But then once I read the caption and then I went back and looked at the photograph, then I really was moved. And then I realized, oh, this is a moment in time that as you say, doesn't exist anymore. And it's a moment of the kind of fresh springs of democracy, of grassroots community democracy happening in the moment that you're capturing, and to realize that this experience is at the moment, at least, and in certain areas now lost, it does bring a certain emotion to looking at what that represents.
Yes. So for my photograph, each comment is very important. Each comment. So usually photo book is not so much comment, but this I editing this photo book, First, I considered this side is photograph, and the other side is about caption.
The captioning, yes. Yeah.
Caption is very important for each picture.
Yes, it is.
Each picture has so many stories,
yes.
I think.
Yeah.
I want to know this photograph and this story.
Yeah.
I contained all comment and photograph.
Yeah, and it's an interaction between photo and caption, because I find myself looking at the photos, sometimes not having so much of a reaction, or sometimes having some familiarity with Myanmar that brings me in, then looking at the caption and then really reflecting on, and your captions aren't big, but they're very personal and they reflect the experience with the subject. And I find myself then reflecting about the caption and then going back to the photograph and looking much longer and much more contemplative.
So the last photo is this photograph. So this is, this is my Thailand side, the Moe River, and over there is the Myanmar side. So when I took this photograph, my smartphone messaged to me from MPT, Myanmar side.
Right.
Welcome to Myanmar.
Yeah.
Short message.
Uh-huh.
Received my smartphone. When I took these pictures.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So over there is the IDP camp. They live more inside of Myanmar, but many, two or three times, Myanmar military come to flight and bombing, and they escaped from this near riverside. So I had this IDP camp with 400 house and about 1,000 people live in this camp. Sometimes I support to this camp, support via support through the support organization in Mesot.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing this book, Burma, Myanmar, Memories of War, 2019 to 2024. Thank you for bringing this and sharing this and bringing our conversation then to the present day. How would you describe the attitudes and the awareness about Burma in Japan these days, both among normal everyday people as well as governments or companies? And are you engaged in any kind of advocacy or activity in Japan itself?
Yes. I want to. So Japanese government and many company business inside Myanmar, it's not easy. I understand not easy, but so I to consider Myanmar people hope and wishing. What Myanmar people change? What country change they want to, what change the company, more consider and keep in touch with them, I think. So I want to, so especially if, I want to say to the Japanese government to stop ODA business, quickly stop. Because of one side of the support for the Myanmar local people's everyday life, but at that same time, to earn the money for the Myanmar military. Same time ongoing is a problem and not good for relationship Japan and Myanmar. I think in the future, of near future and long future, I think, yes.
And so then thinking about your journey going, I believe you said 2005 was your first time in Myanmar. So it's been 20 years, 25, 26 trips, Indian and Thai borders. So your relationship with Burma and Burmese people has evolved and grown and transformed over time. So how has that changed you? Where are you at with where you stand in relation to what Myanmar has meant to your life?
I think my relationship for the Myanmar friends is not changed, I think, because of I like their lifestyle and their thinking. Sometimes to lose of meeting time or so, but I like their character, and so I had interested to, about Myanmar people to continue from 2005 now and the near future. So first impression of Myanmar people, so Myanmar at that time, so country government and the condition and the economy was very severe, but they are keeping smiling and very kindly touch, contact me. Why? I thought this question is, I have to keep same question to now, and I think I will to keep near future and long future. So Myanmar people's mental and thinking is a little mysterious for me. So I have an interest in that mysterious. I cannot correct answer. I cannot correct answer now.
And I think, you know, there are many foreigners who have been involved in Burma during times of limited opening, photographers, journalists, people in business, meditators, etc. Many people who have been engaged. And then when the military coup happened, you know, many people just simply saw, well, the country's closed, I can't go there. I need to, whether I need to look for a place to meditate, or I need to look for a place to take photos, or there's a business I'm setting up, or whatever the work is I'm doing, well, Myanmar's closed, I can't go there, I'll wait till the war stops, I'll go do something somewhere else. And I think that's been somewhat disappointing and disheartening for many, that, you know, this relationship and experience in Myanmar, that when it was in its time of greatest need and when it was facing such darkness, that so many that were involved to some extent would pick that moment to, you know, to just simply turn away and do other things. And and yet for you, you know, you've made decisions that once you could no longer go to Myanmar to take pictures and present pictures, you've then gone to the Indian and Thai borders. And not only that, but you've set up a humanitarian organization. You've been involved in donations and support and advocacy. So first, I just want to appreciate that, you know, that that your involvement and relationship has not only continued even during this time when you can't go back, but, you know, deepened and furthered in considerable ways. First, I just want to appreciate that. But then second, to ask, why was it important to you to find other ways of engaging when the normal ways that you've been doing for 20 years, when they were closed off, why was it important to continue that relationship in other countries, in Japan, and to still make this part of your life?
Now, I'm hearing your question. I'm thinking about, I'm continuing to take a picture for the Myanmar, and now recently, especially support for Myanmar people. So I watched the between Japan and Myanmar country and business and government relationship. But it's important for me to the more personal relationship. Because of my friend living in Yangon, my friend living in Bay Lake, my friend living in Chin State and other area. So to keep connecting my friends and their message and their voice listen to me, and that the story and that voice, and sometimes send to me some images and video, is more motivative for the continue to take a picture, and especially recently support for the Myanmar. It's important to the personal relationship. So if personal relationship is important and very it's easy to continue. So I think that for example next time when come again to next time method in near future, I can go to the Myanmar inside to take a photograph, I hope. Yes.
Well, thank you for spending time with us, for talking about your work. Again, the links to your books and your page will be in our show notes. So we encourage listeners that we're limited by this audio platform to show you the actual images. So we encourage you to look at those for yourself. We've done our best to bring them out in their full dimension.
Yes. So I have been to Myanmar since 2005, more than 20 years. So, as I said, it's important to me to personal relationship for the Myanmar people. But this story is the same as for you and other audience and all over the world. So, more considered important to relationship or personal. So, when watch the news broadcasting between the for example, China and the US or Russia and Ukraine, between the country relationship is very confusing and very dangerous, I think. But if the more personal connection is more easy to understand, more keep, is very important and very good for our, I think. You know, I want to say the more important and more important good relationship to the person, others, my and other, I think, important.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Insight Myanmar Podcast. The stories and conversations we share are meant to inform, inspire, and deepen our understanding of the rich tapestry of experiences that can be found in Myanmar. And as you might imagine, producing this podcast requires a great deal of time, effort, and resources. So if you've gained some value from what you've just heard, we ask you to consider paying it forward. Your support can continue to ensure that we're able to produce and share more episodes like the one you just heard. Every donation directly fuels our ability to reach out to a more diverse range of guests, record their powerful stories, and bring them to life for listeners around the world. So by contributing, you're not just supporting this podcast, you're also creating opportunities for others to benefit from and hearing these conversations down the road. So if you believe in the work we're doing and want to see it continue, please visit insightmyanmar.org/donation. Together, let's keep this conversation going. Yarananga yaunya na dadu ya dana dari ganin za de mana we gara besa yana besa yo ho ba yarananda da yarananga na yarananya da yarananga poda ba yarananga no